The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
This is Stardate 04.04.2024. This is your captain speaking. The Cat Attack Podcast has gone all sort of Star Trek, Captain Picard style. And we're up in the
Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, Jean-Luc. He could sort anything out on Jean-Luc. He was extraordinary. Yeah, he had some serious powers and I used to watch that Kingy, which is quite extraordinary. But
I would never have picked you as a Trekkie.
No, I didn't. I didn't get into the Dr. Spock, and I don't know. I don't know why I did, but I did. Anyway,
will you live long and
this
prosper?
This is the cat. Oh, well, not about the neither. Probably Kingy. It'll be a short existence and remain sort of reasonably scratching your sort of hairs on your rectum, sort of trying style. But
right.
Anyway, this is the Cat Attack Podcast. It's Kerr's Hire style, and we're great to have Kerr's Hire involved in. Not only the podcast, but K-Rock football coverage as well. And
as in Tanner Bruins.
John does an extraordinary job there.
Jared.
Jared.
That's Tanner Bruins, 15 positions in the opening quarter for Kerr's Hire.
Yeah, he did have a few, didn't he? He was very good, Kingy. What did we like about Monday's win, other than the fact that the game, the players were playing cards at three-quarter time for the first time in AFL history?
Or checking their super coach scores.
Or checking their phones just to see the blob of blue descending on them at the MCG.
Just to clarify, too, that wasn't Tom Hawkins' phone. It was a staff member's phone.
He was doing a selfie. He was doing Snapchat, wasn't he? What was he doing?
I would say he legitimately was checking the radar to see if the tanks at the farm were being topped up.
Really?
Yep.
When you do your tax return, do you put editor in as a profession?
No.
Because I put
broadcaster.
Right. No, I just thought you might put editor in because last week's edition of the Cadet. Oh. It did have some serious editing to it. Yes, which I thought it was some of them was a little, I don't know, I just think
Ben, if you want to edit it and take responsibility.
So I said I made a joke, and this can remain in because there's nothing wrong with this, that I once went out with a girl who told me to slip into something more comfortable. Like a coma. So and that's fine, isn't it? That's what she was.
All right, this is written, spoken, and authorized. Yes. Somebody will be offended.
No, they won't. It was a joke. That's what she said to me. I wasn't offended, and she said it to, I was the only one she was saying to. She wasn't saying it to anyone else. Anyway, I just wonder whether you put editor in as a, because you do quite a bit of it.
Ben, as I've said before, and we'll say again.
Do you claim anything off that?
If you want to spend the time editing.
No, we don't want to do that. What do we like about Sunday, King? Monday?
What do we like?
I
liked Bruin's performance to get things going.
We've spoken about him.
I like the big bloke in number six.
Yeah, Loch Ness.
Yep.
There's been sightings. Yes.
The thing is, people are calling him Loch Ness outside of this studio.
I know, it's good, isn't it?
What else?
Let's hope he becomes a little less Loch Ness and we see him more.
I like Dolly Henry.
Yeah, well, we've always liked him.
But I liked... He just all of a sudden now, you can bank him for two or three goals a game.
Well, he could do that last year.
What did he kick, 41? He was going at less than two a game last year. He'll kick 50 this year.
He'll have a season where he kicks 60 goals as a mid-season.
And we'll make the All-Australian team.
Yeah, he's a gun. Absolute gun. You didn't need to be Nostradamus to work that out. But he and Bruin, first-round picks, fourth year, they're just, ascending in a trajectory that's super positive for the Cats. Henry... As I've said before, Henry will, I think, get even better when he gets a little bit more space to move, and that's no knock on anybody, but, Hawkins, Cameron, you've got Myers, Stengel, I know they work up the ground a little bit, maybe not so much Stengel and Close, and then you've got Gary Rowan as well. But when there's a little bit more, perhaps a little bit more room to move in years to come, you'll see an even better Ollie Henry. And the thing I like too, Kingy, he will have his bad days, obviously they all do, but he's quite a reliable set shot for goal. He's got a nice technique. He can win a ball at ground level. He's quick. He's got a good tank. He can mark it over his head. There really isn't a base that he doesn't have covered as a one. I'm guessing, is he 186? 188, maybe. A 6'1", 6'2", mid-size forward. He's a superstar.
No, you're right, first up, 186.
He's a superstar of the competition in the making. It probably won't be this year, but he'll continue to improve. Tanner Bruin, likewise, improving, finding the ball more, tackles well, Thing I like, Kingy. A few things I like.
Can I just give you one more I like?
Yeah, what else?
Parfitt, that's consecutive 20 possession, 10 tackle games.
I was going to say...
And he used the footy better than he did the week before.
Yeah, and he laid... did he have double figure tackles?
10 tackles again.
So, yeah, I was going to mention that. I thought he is an, something has become in something of a wild card. We've spoken about it at length that if... You know, well, I think if there's a deficiency with the Cats, it's in the midfield. You know, they lost Cam Guthrie, obviously, again. He will come back, but he's not there. You know, Dangerfield goes out. You were thinking, I mean, Tom Atkins missed against Adelaide. You're thinking, geez, it's a bit thin. And then you're thinking, well, okay, who can step up? Jai Clark. There should be no expectation on Jai Clark to step up. He can just find his feet this year and hopefully get a dozen games. Where is he going to find it from? Parfitt was one that if he could come in and be a regular player, he doesn't need to star, but if he's doing what he's doing the last 2 weeks and getting 20 touches and 7 to 8, 9, 10 tackles as a midfielder, because suddenly they've got quite a defensive midfield, which I think is a good thing for the Cats, particularly when Dangerfield and Cam Guthrie are back and hopefully firing. You've got Atkins, who's good tackler, plays defensive first. Brandon Parfitt's A game is his, I reckon, his clearance work and his tackling.
Yep.
That's his one wood.
Bruin can play and defensively.
And you've got Tanner Bruin, who's a good, he likes to get his hands dirty as well. Yep. So you've got three players there.
So does Clark.
And Jai Clark's the other one. So if I'm thinking the balance now needs to be to get a little bit more, inject a little bit more run forward, that's your Guthrie, your Dangerfield, and depending upon where he plays, Max Holmes. So suddenly there's, I think Parfitt has the ability to change the balance in the midfield for the Cats in a positive. Now he's got to retain his form. We're not going to sing, you know, one swallow doesn't make the old summer.
No.
It's suddenly sort of, I don't know, the dynamics changed a bit for the Cats. Their backline is pretty much set and playing well. The thing I like, Kingy, is in the start to the Cats, it hasn't been a Jeremy Cameron led good start to the Cats. He's been okay.
This time last year he had 12 or 15 goals.
Yeah,
he's got about five.
By his standards, he's probably had a, would you say, just a moderate start?
Solid.
Yeah, he's been okay. Yep. Yeah, he's capable of the spectacular. We haven't seen it yet. So it's not like there's sort of every gear is firing and that's why Geelong are where they are. There's been a bit of, I've seen some talk about, you know, oh, Geelong will do this and these bold predictions based off three rounds of footy.
And they've only beaten?
Well, they've beaten teams that have won one game between them. One. So just sort of pull the pants back up a little bit, notch them up, and just wait, hang on.
Come and see me and have a chat to me.
Come up and see me.
After May 25, which is about halfway.
Yeah,
time they've played Melbourne, Carlton, Port Adelaide, GWS Giants, and gone to Brisbane.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. Let's not make any predictions off beating Hawthorn, who are going to be bottom five.
Because I tipped the Cats to finish 10th. And people are into me already going, gee, well, that's looking silly.
Not really. Not yet.
No.
They could be 4 and 5.
If they're 8 and 3 after 11, okay, I'll put my hand up and go, okay.
Will you be extracting the egg off your cranium?
More than likely.
Yeah, I know, but I hear you. I'm 100% behind you. That you just let's – bold predictions based off beating Hawthorn, who are going to be bottom five, probably bottom four. Adelaide, who – I thought we were going to be okay this year.
I had them playing finals.
They've got a lot of problems. Their midfield is slow. They miss not having Thilthorpe kills them up forward, and their defence is light on. As it stands right now, they need to change the mix. Thilthorpe coming back will change the dynamic up forward, but their midfield is it's very one paced.
This
lacks,
season might be too
lacks
far
some
gone,
dynamism. Is that a word?
Don't know.
I like the fact that. Jeremy Cameron hasn't been the star of the show. He's been okay. Parfitt is hopefully trending in the right direction to be something of a bit of a difference maker in terms of the balance of the midfield. I don't think he's a difference maker in terms of his play, but if he can, really liked him. He was better last week than he was against the Crows, and, you know, opportunity came from left field for him.
Yep.
And all you can say is in two games he's had he's grasped it. Now, I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I am going to toot. Have you ever tooted? Have you got the ability?
To toot your own horn?
Yeah.
Well, if you think you need to, do it, Benny. Are you that confident that you've made a good, said something that is on the mark?
No, I'm just, people like to sort of get stuck in you because you said the Cats won't make the finals and they won three games and now you look like a freak and, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going the reverse one of that.
Right.
Because I have been poo-pooed, right?
Yeah.
Well, not poo-poo, but people are off Jake Colajanni, right?
Yep.
He's, for whatever reason, he's yaddy.
Because he makes the occasional mistake.
They all do. If we were going on mistakes, Patrick Dangerfield wouldn't play.
Sometimes, unfortunately, collars are magnified.
Well, of course they are, but, you know. Anyway, I have maintained, and you will back me up on this, I've maintained for years that the best setup for Geelong in their defence was a key defender in Sam De Koning,
yep.
And Jake Colajanni, well, alongside Jack Henry, but Jake Colajanni playing as your second key defender,
yep.
on the second best forward, who might be 191, might be 198,
might be 183.
Yeah, well, he has that versatility, but he playing your second key defender, and it's working for the Cats, absolutely working for them, because you've got Henry back fit and Colajanni, who are both. Colajanni's 193. I reckon Henry's about 190 or 191. So they're actually taller than you think. 6'3", 6'4". They're strong. They've got slightly different attributes. Henry's very good in the air and quite agile. Jake Colajanni is strong, so he can actually, you know, grapple with somebody who is bigger than him. And I really think that works for them really, really well. We've had, you know, last year, I mean, I was happy to play Radigalia, and he's actually playing quite well for Port Adelaide. But I just think with a little bit more responsibility with Jake Colajanni and Jack Henry, that is really working for the Cats. And De Koning's been solid. He hasn't been to form of 2022. I know he'll get back to that at some point, but he's been solid enough. And the defence is working really well, which is a bad sign, Kingy, for Jed Buse.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yes.
What did you make of Toby Loch Ness? Were you happy for him to go again this week against Tim English?
I am, but I don't know whether he will. I think there was method in Stanley not playing Monday to take away the 5-day break.
It's tempting though, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
If he's pulled up well.
So I'll give you a stat, Benny.
Oh, I love stats.
How many marks do you think Reece Stanley's taken for the year?
Well, he's dropped a few, because I can think of one he dropped against Adelaide and one he dropped against St Kilda. He's probably taken, Kingy, off the top of my head, I'd say about five.
Three,
yeah,
in two games. How many did Toby Conway take in one appearance?
Well, I can think of three contested marks he took. One he kicked a goal from.
He took five.
Yeah. Five contested.
No, five marks.
Five marks.
Yep.
You need your ruckman. I mentioned it last week, that the one would have, if Reece Stanley has a one wood, which is probably only a 190 sort of 5 metre one wood, in fairness, but it is a one wood. It's actually that he does take a good solid mark. He's very clean in the air. That's what he's good at. He hasn't been able to do it. He's lost confidence. That was my point last week. You drop him out, he drops even more confidence. I don't know if that's a recipe for him to come in and play well, although we have seen that before. Just when you think he's, you know, Gonski, he'll actually come in against a good opponent and play well. English is an All-Australian ruckman for a reason. He's the sort of bloke that can take over a game in much the same fashion that Rowan Marshall took over round one. So an interesting conundrum for the Cats in that, King, isn't it? Because Conway was good. How does he pull up after a short break? Stanley is completely out of form and devoid of confidence. So, geez, what do you do? If I'm the selection, Kingy, if Toby Conway has pulled up well, I'm going with Toby Conway.
What did we make of off the field that Simon Lloyd's departing the club?
That was all a sort of something's gone on there.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
I have no idea. Actually, no.
Do you have any rumours?
No.
Anything? Any sort of...
No, I have
any smoke where there's fire?
I have no inkling of what's gone on there. Steve Hocking, we're hoping to have before the North Melbourne game join us, so we'll be able to ask about
that. Do you know where he's gone?
No, he's not going anywhere. He's not going to anything.
He's just left.
Yep.
We'll have an expose on it next week.
we'll
get Simon on?
I suspect while he's still at the Cats, no.
When's he going?
I think he's got a month.
Given him a month.
Yeah, he's going.
I don't reckon he's there.
Yeah. Gardening leave.
Do you think they've done what they've... Remember when Homer went into hospital? And his mates from work came in to see him just to check that he was okay. And one of them said to him that, we've had a hard time replacing you. And they just panned to his desk and there was just the brick hanging off a lever, which is quite extraordinary. Old home, he didn't do much.
Do you want to answer some questions, Benny?
Yeah, I can do that.
Is there more you want to discuss?
No, discussion.
This is just a comment. From Teddy G. If someone in the cheer squad is listening, is there any chance they can turn the run through around before the game that, so that more people can see their great message? I hate to admit it, but our foes were able to do it on Monday. Okay. So, if anybody's listening from the cheer squad,
What do you mean, turn the banner around a bit?
So turn it around. You know, what they used to remember with
Used to do it two sides.
They used to turn it around.
They haven't got time, probably. The AFL, probably, because you've got to get out there earlier and they're not allowed to do that and everything's a time constraint and someone will get poked in the eye with a bit of crepe paper and then we'll have to have an inquisition and then there'll be like a yellow card system and then we'll...
Off the KFC Twitter, Andrew Daly, should we be concerned with other clubs circling Conway? Well, he's out of he's not out of contract until the end of 2025. He's not going anywhere.
Well, if he left, who's circling him?
His mother. I haven't heard of anybody circling Toby Conway.
All they do is they look at who's out of contract and then say somebody's circling him. The Cats hopefully have circled him as number six and he needs to stay.
And he'll play 250 games.
Yeah. If he left Geelong as a Geelong boy, that they've drafted him quite high, what pick was he taken?
Toby was in the 20s.
They'd burn the stand down.
22 or 23.
There'd be a fire emanating from the stand.
Andrew Daly. More importantly, based on the commentary of the ground invasion during the break, can Kingy and Ben do an English dub of Takeshi's Castle?
I don't know if we can.
No. Medicus, pleased with the undefeated start to the season, but we've not had to play a top tier team yet. Yeah, do correct. You for Cat fans need to curb their expectations?
Yes, we spoke about that 100%.
Hoops crew, are we seeing a changing of the guard in 2024 with all the young guys stepping up?
Are we seeing a changing of the guard? I mean,
It's subtle.
You'd like to say yes, but I wouldn't go as far to say that. Let's just say that the key experienced players, if they don't play well, Geelong aren't going to go far. So I think you could only say that when your younger players are actually leading the chart. Why are you laughing already?
Looking at some of the other questions. So, I'm scrolling ahead.
Right. So
I've got to vet them.
You could only say that when your more experienced senior players are perhaps being put into the shade. Now, I don't think that's quite the case at the moment, but I am liking the fact that our 20 to 25-year-olds are playing a much bigger role.
That's fair. Premieres, glad to have you back on board, Kingy, top eight. And yes, we are fully aware of what round it is, Benny. No, I'm not back on board. I'm still not, as I said, round 11.
No, you can be excited about the start and be enthusiastic and positive about the start.
And we are.
But also be a realistic. Just have a look at where the teams they've beaten are on the ladder right now after three games.
Marky Mark, what is going on with Benny's quiz? Talk about lack of integrity in the game.
Yeah, it wasn't.
We love Benny's quiz. It's taken on a life of its own. We're only four editions in.
We've had a few people who are right on the money with their.
You didn't think anybody would get the Aaron Lord question, did you?
No, I knew the guy that rang would get it because I know who it is.
Right.
Yeah, so I knew he is like an encyclopedia pussycat.
Right.
Yeah.
5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5.
Get involved. We'll have a bit of fun.
Saturday night we'll
Kingy
be doing.
Does the questions, and some of them last week were slightly on the curly side.
Marky Mark, before the game interview, Andrew Mackey said that they did not seriously look at a ruckman. Ben actually had the balls to ask the question, that he felt Conway, Blitzarves and Stanley, along with the defenders, DeConin could cover. So we didn't go after Darcy, Goldstein. Is there a move in position for Sam? DeConin's not playing in the ruck for long term.
Well, if that happens, I'd find that would be one of the more staggering moves in the history of the Geelong Football Club. I shudder. I actually have to get under the desk and call the game from under the desk when he goes into the ruck.
The national talking heads.
At some points, he doesn't even go up because he doesn't want to get hurt. He's got no idea how to ruck. He's not an exponent of the ruck. It just beggars belief that he gets thrown in there. I don't like it at all. And even all the special comments people we've had, Kingy, none of them have endorsed it as a move that they think is a good one. No.
Marky Mark again, the national talking heads are simply ignoring Geelong with a 3-0 start. The Cats do enough to beat teams, which is what we've been doing for 10 years. What would it take for the pundits to take Geelong serious? Start beating some teams that aren't going to finish in the bottom half of the ladder.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you mentioned, that run they've got, Kingy, to start to... You know, they certainly don't need to win all those games, but they need to win a few of them and then be competitive in the ones that they don't win.
Don't put your house on them beating the Bulldogs on Saturday night.
No, I wouldn't be putting my house on. Even the betting is it's there's not a lot in the betting in that game. The Bulldogs are about $2 something and the Cats are $1.80, $1.85. So
gamble responsibly.
Yeah, well, the more you bet, the more you win. So,
Damien Tedesco, hi, guys. Great
Mr.
call.
Mr. Tedesco. Do you know Mr. Tedesco?
Now, the only Tedesco I know is the bloke that plays rugby league, James.
It's a very, very funny episode of Family Ties. Right. And the guy, one of the characters' names in it is Mr. Tedesco. Right. So just YouTube it. Very humorous.
Right. Great call on Easter Monday, especially with the Hawkins boys. That Jack Hawkins was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. It was good, yeah. Yep. It was good to get him on.
Thought Parfitt and Tanner had great games. Also, is Cameron playing further up the ground? Only kicked 4 goals. Umpiring also a disgrace. Yeah, well, actually, umpiring was a disgrace towards Hawthorn. A couple of those Kinderman ones were legitimately high.
Yeah, I get that they were, Kingy, but what infuriates me...
What infuriates you, Ben? What grinds your gears?
What grinds my gears is that Jack Ginnivan, every time he gets the ball and is tackled, he plays for the free kick. He never plays the actual... The situation on its merits.
Did the number 14 for Geelong do that?
Not every time he was tackled, no. He would try and break the tackle. Ginnivan, every single time, he tries to play for the free kick. That's what infuriates me. He never tries to break the tackle. He's actually looking for the free kick. Now, and his arm moving up. I don't know. Look, there are some that are legitimate, but if you are going to play for the free kick every single time, I reckon you deserve nada, nothing, zero.
When will commentators, except Ben, actually believe the Cats are actual premiership contenders? You don't actually believe they're a premiership contender, do you?
No, not at this stage. No. I'd like to be saying that at the middle of the year, but no, I don't think they're a premiership contender.
If they're 8-3 or 7-4, let's revisit that conversation.
Well, 7-4 would have to be... Yep. Realistic with 3-0 start.
Yeah. Well, yes.
4-3 over the next 7.
Yep.
If they could go 5-3 and be 8-3, that would be an extraordinary start. But yeah, I'm making bold predictions after 3 rounds is not my... It's not jiggling my Lipton.
Deconing seems off to me from Australian. Discuss.
No, I don't think he's off. We've mentioned this quite a few times. I wouldn't say he's off. He just set an unbelievably high benchmark in 22. So that was in his first season of AFL footy, basically. In fact, first season of senior footy, second year, I think, in the program. He is a pillar for the Cats. He is. I'd say that there are. And this is going to seem really obvious, but if Geelong are going to win the premiership, Patrick Dangerfield has to have a big season. He's got to. He's the dynamic player in the midfield. Now, as I mentioned, some of these other parts are stepping up, like Clark and Parfitt, and obviously Atkins is there. Bruin is stepping up. He's the one that can be the difference maker in the midfield. Jeremy Cameron is the one that Jeremy Cameron and Hawkins are the difference makers up forward. They've got to play well. If they don't play well, it's hard to see the others taking up the slack. Deconing, he holds the defence together. 204 centimetres. He's not starring, but he's been okay.
Yeah.
So just give him time to work into the season. Because this time last year, I reckon by round 3 he'd been belted twice.
Yeah.
He'd been had two of the biggest hits you've seen.
The Gold Coast game,
he copped an absolute beauty and was never quite the same. So I think he's working into the season. Just give him a bit of time. But yeah, I agree. He's not at 22. He hasn't played 50 games yet. He has not played 50 games. So just sit tight. Watch a little bit of something that, keeps you calm and just...
D-Buds, how many games should Guthrie play in the VFL before coming back in? What's the perfect midfield max when midfield mix when both Guth and Danger are back? They're probably going to have to give him a couple, aren't they?
Well...
One at least.
Yeah,
you don't drive Ferraris down dirt roads for too long, though.
No, he probably needs... Yeah, it's going to be a long time out. You would have thought at least 2 games.
Does Tanner
Maybe even 3.
Does Tanner Bruin ever smile?
No, he doesn't. He's a very serious sort of unit. Yep. He wants to get the absolute best out of him. Good on him. He's quite driven, obviously, and that's what makes him a good player. That's why his football career thus far has got better each year into year 4.
Paul Marinelli, is it just me, or does Toby Conway look like a young Barry Stoneham? He's a bit shorter. He's a bit taller. He's a bit taller. Toby's game against the Hawks is why the club knew it didn't need to trade out draft picks for a ruckman like most of the external commentary.
In terms of that game being as to why we needed a good ruckman.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, I think we've probably known that for quite some time. He's still young too. I suppose I was thinking about this, Kingy. It's so young and he's so inexperienced. I don't know. But if he could play, let's just say we get to round 15. and he's not going to play every game, but let's say he's played
8 or 9 or 10,
and he has contributed really well and played quite well as he did on Monday night. Then I think it's probably a conundrum as to you make sure that you've probably got him for the finals if Geelong are finals bound, but he's fresh enough to still be playing a role. Because you're not going to get him playing every game and then hitting his peak in the finals. He'll be absolutely shot. But he might start to feel the pinch by about round 9 or round 10 if they do play him, and that's where you're probably going to need Reece Stanley to step up. So I reckon it's just a bit of suck it and see. Let's hope in... I don't think it'd be next year, but let's say in 2 years' time, we've just got Toby Conway locked in as... I mean, if you think back, and I know Geelong fans may not, but the Bulldogs had to be pretty patient with English. He took some years to find his feet, and he was a top... He was projected as a top 10 draft pick, I reckon, and he fell to about 18 because we're in the era when nobody wanted to draft a ruckman.
Yep.
But the Bulldogs had to be patient there. He's a gun. We've got to be patient with Conway, but we have to work out this year, depending upon how our season goes, as to whether we want Conway to be our ruckman if we are going to play finals, and then how do you have him fresh and playing or contributing in finals by managing him through the season. If he's starting to hit the wall, then we probably need Stanley to step up.
Rexy, was last week's management of Stanley and Tui a soft drop or honest management? If it was an omission, why do clubs try to protect players' feelings by naming out-of-sides managed?
Yeah, I don't understand that. We do that. And
it does have something to do with the contracts.
Possibly.
Where if you managed, how you get paid.
You would have thought, though, if you were a manager, you'd be managing that out of the contract, wouldn't you? Wouldn't be allowing a club to dictate to you.
I suspect they were, Matt, legit, five-day turnaround. They've looked at the two games and gone, where do we think we need Stanley?
Do you think it's ironic, though, that the two guys who were going pretty ordinary got managed?
I think they still would have anyway.
Well, they're not playing well. They got managed. I mean, they got dropped. I don't understand. So you're managing, you know, like a player like Jai Clark, who's only played three games of footy, yet you're managing out blokes who are 200-plus gamers. Yeah, I don't know. Look, they were dropped. Whether or not they come back this week, I've no idea. But, yeah, I think the whole fans and the footy community can see through this sort of managed drivel. But the AFL is... Their second language is lying, isn't it?
Chris Quinet, gents, love DK, but wondering your thoughts on his change in game style. He's gone from top 10 interceptor in 2022 to 89th in 2023 and 111th in 2024. Intercept marking and backing himself with his strength, but he seems to have gone away from that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if he's gone away from it, but I agree. I mean, last year he didn't have a great year, so his stats were always going to be down. He probably isn't marking... Well, clearly not marking the ball as much as he was. Is he getting his hands to it and not marking it, or is he just not marking it? I don't know. I wouldn't be losing faith in Sam De Koning in any way, shape or form. He just has to find his feet. He's still, I reckon his 50th game is on in about maybe 3 or 4 weeks. I reckon he had 43 coming in, so he's up to 46, so a month away. Geez, we're marking a bloke harshly. He's dimensioned. He's only played less than 50 games. Wait till he's played... 120 games. He will be a star, but we just have to let him find his feet, and he may take a little bit to get back to that form of 22.
Yep. And the last one off the X. Join us on the X anytime.
Club X.
Hi, Benny. Nuff here. This is Nuffy from Corio. Right. You sounded less nervous on the broadcast this week. Well done.
Well, I wasn't on the telly, because the other one that said I look like...
Yeah, you were stiff as a board. It? Do you think Toby Conway is the second coming of our Lord and Saviour, Damien Burke?
Yes, Damien. Well, Damien Burke, he played a very different role. He just used to thump at about 37 metres forward, just half forward, and then he'd just keep running through with his elbows out, sort of chicken style, and see what he could collect on the way. He was a beast, Damien Burke. Mm. He wouldn't have survived with today's footy. He was too aggressive.
Off Big Footy, Willow posted this. I'm going to touch on this. It wasn't a question, but he just said, random thought on the Hawk Jr. rating question. So this is on Tom Hawkins. Was he potentially never talked about as a number one, two, because it was never an option for him? He was always coming to us, obviously, as a father-son, so he wasn't in the discussion. I want to touch on that because we had Mick Turner on Monday, which was fantastic to see.
It was, yeah, it was good.
He's obviously had a battle with pancreatic cancer, and it was the Dare to Hope game the Hawks were running. Obviously, they lost Paul Deer to pancreatic cancer. And I think Mick... if I went back, if I'm right, said that Hawkins would have gone number one in 2006.
Mick said that. Yep. And I think, from memory, the consensus was he was, if not number one, he was 100% top three.
Yep.
Dave. If you've got a good memory for this, Cabbage Kingy, who was taking pick one in that draft?
Bryce Gibbs.
Oh, well, he was pretty handy. Yep. Who was two?
Was Gumbleton two or three?
Oh, God. Was he that high, was he?
Yep.
Yeah, he might have been two. Geez, at Gumbleton. Yep. Goodness me. Yeah, he was definitely he was right there.
Boak went at five.
Yes, that was a good pick.
Mitch Thorpe went at six.
Yep.
You know who went at seven?
Joel Sewell. he ended up pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Those who have been wondering about the podcast on Apple, we've had some issues with the Apple setup. So if you've heard this, you've obviously picked it up somewhere else. If you usually got it through Apple Podcasts, we apologise. We are working through what the issue is. So we will let you know. Cat to the future, Conway versus Meek. Some on the board arguably carried away with his performance, but some are also saying he was comfortably beaten by Meek. I personally think some might be looking at Meek's work against Deconing and Blitz and mistaking that for Conway. Did Meek win the battle, or is Conway being judged by ruck contests he wasn't in?
I don't think...
Meek didn't dominate.
No, he didn't dominate, and neither did Toby Conway, no. Let's be honest. He was handy. I thought Meek was okay as well. I think they probably just cancelled each other out. Both played a role. I like the fact that we mentioned there he took the five marks. I reckon he took three. I can remember three of them being contested.
Yeah, it's come back as two on the official stats.
Well, he took one up forward.
Yep.
And he took one...
I remember him taking a really good one.
He took one in defence.
Yeah.
And he took... I'm sure he took one on the wing.
Wing, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, I don't know how... That champion data wouldn't be... They reckon in the year that Jack Higgins was bloody drafted that he should have been the number one draft.
Yeah, right.
Champion data.
Bruin's time
they cock it up a lot.
Bruin's time on ground. Big stats for a small 66% time on ground for the young fella. I think he was off for 8 minutes to start the second quarter.
He was. We had Jace Doherty downstairs. He mentioned that Bruin was off for a long time.
Tracking well, but should we be worried about his endurance? Is he damaging enough?
Who, Bruin?
Yep.
What do you mean his endurance is in his ability to run?
Mm.
I wouldn't be worried about that.
No, and I think he's damaging enough.
Well, he's not... Yeah, he's damaging enough. He's still developing. Like we... Yeah. God, we're...
He's only at 52 games.
Yeah, and... Okay, he's not Chris Judd or, you know, Patrick Dangerfield or Dustin Martin. No. Is he explosive? No. Is he fast enough? Yes. Does he find the ball well? Yes. Does he use it well? He's getting better with that. Is his decision-making getting better? Yes. Is he impacting the game more in three games this year? Yes. All those things are positive, heading in the right direction. We just won't allow anyone to develop. If 50 games we're making these sweeping statements about this and that, he's all his indicators. I don't think you could give me one indicator this year that hasn't said that he's heading in an upward spiral.
Atkins subbed. Atkins has earned some serious trust, but got subbed after one kick to three-quarter time. Is this risk management for the adductor, or should we be worried?
Oh, I mean, they're probably managing him if he's injured. He's a key player. He does a lot of the stuff that no one else likes doing. Clark and Parfitt and Bruin are obviously doing more of it, but they're sort of new additions. He's the one that's held it up for quite a few years. He's a key player, Tom Atkins. He's another one. He's not a star. He won't run out of a stoppage and run 15 metres and kick a 50-metre goal. He won't do that. Mm. But he'll do things that you need a team to do, a midfielder to do, that help others like Dangerfield, hopefully, and Guthrie and maybe a Max Holmes do those sorts of things. So he's key. And if they were managing him off the back of an injury the previous week, good on them. That's what they need to do.
And opposition runner goals. We had a couple of significant runs against us in that game. Is there something we're not doing in stopping this?
Well, that's footy. Like that
sometimes you...
This is AFL footy. Like it's not, you know, Joey's playing North Shore. You're not just going to dominate four quarters against anybody. I mean, even the last couple of weeks, I've watched a little bit of West Coast. I mean, they were good against the first quarter against the Bulldogs.
Yep.
They were solid for probably nearly a half against GWS. You're just not going to dominate a football game. It's just simple as that. There are things that you'd hope that teams can do, and what the good teams do is limit the scoring when the game is against you. That's what they... When there's repeat inside 50s against you, and then there's a 15-minute period of play where the flow of the game and the momentum of the game is against you, the good teams hold up defensively. They don't get scored on heavily. So I just think it's folly to suggest that you're going to come out and from start of the game to the end of the game, you're going to dominate the game. And if you're not dominating the game, then something's gone wrong with your team. It's just the footy just doesn't work like that.
A little discussion on Boris versus Stewart, who is better. Hard to split, but don't want to get into that. However, has there been a better custodial care of a play number than 44? The 44 since when Boris got it in 99 has to have been the most successful number at the club. Four flags, 10 or so All-Australians, best and fairest at the club. My question is, has there been a better or more successful number at the club from any era? Yes, the number 5.
Yeah, well, 5's been good.
Polly.
Yeah.
Gary Malarkey.
Gary Ablett. Nakai Cockatoo. Yeah. Travis Varko.
Well, the 5.
And Jeremy Cameron.
Yep.
Yeah, there's been some good ones. Good run.
Neil kicked 3 in the VFL last week. Maybe he replaces Tommy if they rest him, or Jezza if the rolled ankle doesn't come up. We'll wait and see. Big game, this one. Absolutely. Side note, let's get Benny calling some Gary Ablett senior moments on YouTube. New segment, Benny Calls God. Make it happen.
I'd love to do that. I love it. If I want to go to your happy place, you just watch Gary Ablett senior highlights.
Mm. How the 41, good win against a team that lifts against us. Still, we feel we lack clearance winners. That will improve with Bruin Clark as they gain experience.
Also, Dangerfield.
Yeah. However, at one stage, Bruin was the only multiple clearance winner for the Cats midway through the third term. For that reason, I'd like to see Jack Bowes play next week. Like the game of Conway, Dempsey also showed he has many Bowes. Yes. Parfitt playing himself back into a contract. Cats league leaders in tackles. Thought O'Connor battled, and I'd prefer to see Bewes in the small defensive
Who
spot.
Who said this?
This is How the 41.
Yeah, How the 41. He's absolutely all over it. I agree with nearly all that. We spoke about it in the commentary. Dempsey showed himself to be more than just a sort of an X factor mid-size forward. He actually played off a wing for the majority of the game and helped out in defence. I think he ended up with about 18 possessions and had an impact other than kicking goals, which I think we sort of thought maybe he just bobs up inside forward 50 and he'll kick you 2 goals. But he actually was really good. I was really happy with all that. The Parfitt stuff's on the money. All that's on the money, Kingy. That's just sort of written and authorised by the old howler.
Mm. I still think the Cats could target a fun midfielder.
I don't know. Well, a fun midfielder means maybe someone with some little pop.
Yeah.
But I think that's what they need to get in this year's draft. They've got to find a... look, we're still talking Bailey Smith. Still hasn't signed with the Bulldogs. 2-year deal they've offered him. Would Geelong be smart and offer him a 3-year deal? Go out on a limb. First year back from a knee is probably going to be only just.
Two.
Nah. I'm doing the reverse Link McCarthy.
Yep.
And I am offering Bailey Smith.
And you hope
a 3-year deal.
And you hope that.
And his first year would be just. He's only 20. I reckon he's still under 24, Bailey Smith. He seems to have been around forever, but he actually is very young. And I would be offering...
He's 23.
He's 23. You could conceivably have him for 8 seasons, maybe 9. You offer him a 3-year deal to get him out of the Bulldogs. He is this type of player that can play in the midfield and be that burst sort of player that would complement the likes of the ones we've spoken about, Parfitt, who's out of contract too, isn't he, end of this year, Atkins, Jai Clark and Tanner Bruin. He is the slightly different offensive-minded midfielder. I reckon he would be perfect. And 2 years, as soon as I saw 2 years, I thought, please, just offer him 3. Wear it in the first year a little bit, and you will see. He is a gun, Bailey Smith. He is a real gun when he's up and about, and he's still young. How many games has he played?
Who's that, Bailey Smith?
He'd be over 100.
You got to that? I'll have a look.
I reckon he'd be 100 games, 23 and 100 games. His best footy is still 2-3 years away.
He has played, 103.
Wait till he's 27, 28, you will have a jet, an absolute jet, because he'll have matured a little bit mentally as well. So let's hope the Cats are pulling the trigger on that. We could have asked Andrew Mackey all this, but he would have given us absolute donuts. Also, Max Holmes, the one that hasn't signed.
I'm going to move on to that in a second, Benny. Son of God 29, another great call on Monday as per usual. Would love to have heard Kingy and Benny in the same commentary team as EJ Witten, Peter LeGrand and Brian Brushfield. That would really be K-Rock's Hall of Fame commentary team. That's nice.
Right.
Anyway, onto the game. What is clear is that we got a steal giving up pick 25 and Cooper Stevens for Ollie Henry. The kid is a star in the making. How do Wells and Mack continue to make out like Robin Hood and Fryer Tuck at trade time? Thought Bruin, Clark, Parfitt, Holmes and Loch Ness Conway were outstanding in the middle. Loch Ness reminds me move across between Damien Burke and Brad Ottens. Yep. So we had Stoneham, Burke, now Otto. Donkey. If Reece Stanley was watching his first quarter, he was watching his own career end.
Yes.
Ouch.
Well, and if the irony of that is probably is correct. I mean, Reece Stanley was the only player he was watching was Toby Conway. Mm.
As good as they were, the Cats must do everything possible to get Bailey Smith or Clayton Oliver, as without danger we no, miss a don't get body Oliver. At clearance.
No. I know Bailey Smith's not exactly a choir boy off the field, but I think I'd be very reticent to get Clayton Oliver, and I think Geelong already are building a number of players in his mould, albeit he's a gun, I get that, but I think Bailey Smith is a different sort of midfielder the Cats would be needing. With Dangerfield going at some point, and obviously Cam Guthrie closer to the end than the start.
Watching Hawthorne struggle with their rebuild makes me glad that Chris Scott made those hard decisions with Chappie, Stevie J, Joel Corey and Stokes at the end of 2015, because it appears the Hawks are struggling to let go of Bruce and Gunston.
Well, I mean, they got Gunston back. I mean, I wouldn't be hanging Luke Bruce on game.
He had an hour.
Yeah, he did have a stinker, but I mean, crikey, if you play that many games, you're going to have some stinkers. Well, he's played nearly 300, hasn't he?
Yep. Just lastly on Tom Hawkins, could he play 400? Because the last 350 haven't been too bad.
Well, I wouldn't say no. 100% I wouldn't say no, as long as he's enjoying it and he's playing as he is. I mean, it'd be up to him if he's mentally still in the game. I'm a long way to go this year. I'm going to start talking about next year, but what this year, Kingy, could end up if he doesn't miss a game at around about 370.
Yeah.
So he'd need two more. He'd need two more seasons on this one.
He's 38.
Yeah. To be. Geez, I wouldn't. Geez, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I wouldn't rule it out, Kingy.
Okay.
Can you get on that? If you rang your local agency.
Don't know. Catters 07. You guys had Andrew Mackey pre-game. I was wondering why you didn't ask him regarding potential contract talks. Obviously, Holmes would have been the main one all Cat fans would have wanted to know about. Is it due to K-Rock and the footy club in recent times being on relatively good terms and don't want to cause issues? We can ask what we want, but Max Holmes spoke about it only a couple of weeks ago. And
yeah, we just look, we probably limited with time. It was one we actually spoke about after we in the ad break, I reckon, Kingy. Yeah. So we didn't ask about Max Holmes, and we both suggested that, I mean, Mackey would have just given us the politically correct.
Yeah,
you know,
we're working on it.
It's you know, we're hoping
Andrew Mackey's not coming on K-Rock Footy and going, it's nearly done.
No, I mean, I do get the question though. He's probably right. We probably should have asked and then just at least got that, you know, that sort of half volley response. But we didn't.
I think we're going to see Andrew Mackey probably once a month, once every 5 to 6 weeks on K-Rock Footy. So we'll probably talk to him 3 or 4 times this year, and I suspect next time round we'll be probably, as you talked about, if we haven't seen something by midway through the season, then you worry about where Max Holmes' future lies beyond 2024.
I think if it gets to
the bye.
I think if it gets to the middle of the year and there's not rumblings that he will re-sign, the rumblings are that he's still reticent to re-sign. I'd be staggered if he's at Geelong next year.
Foxdog 50. Boys, once again, I've said this before, but Benny Cash, you remind me of Homer Simpson. You were talking about a subject, then all of a sudden a tray of donuts has entered the room. Then all of a sudden you change your subject to a totally different subject and the donuts has your complete attention. Yes. Don't change. I love it.
Yes, I love that too. And Peter Griffin's like that. He's my
Family guy.
He's my pin-up boy, old Pete.
I just want to give Brandon Parfitt a big round of applause. I was very concerned that we may not see him at his best at Geelong and he may be 1 foot out the door, but his past two games have been bloody awesome. We did touch on his numbers before. Also good to see in round three there were up to 6 teams older than us instead of always being the oldest team out there.
Yeah, we're not now.
No.
Thank God.
Aussie Sparky, lads, how do you think O'Sheen is tracking? There were some good signs on Monday.
I liked it.
He's defending well. If he can unleash his attacking side, then he'll be really exciting to watch. Yeah, nice left foot skills.
100%. And we sort of spoke about that last week. I think one of the someone on the social media suggested that maybe getting him back to the twos when he goes back and getting him to play a different role, a more attacking role, might really benefit his footy. And I sort of couldn't agree more. We did see a little bit of it on the weekend. He had a couple of instances where he was attacking. He didn't stand out as being poor. He didn't stand out as being fantastic either. But, I mean, he's still developing. So I like the bits and pieces of what he does. I know he's got really good raw speed. Just need to be able to find ways to use that in the game to impact the game. And at this stage, he's not quite capable of doing that. But hopefully that'll come.
Benny, 7 o'clock Saturday night.
Yeah, can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Carrick Football Live.
It's a big game for the Cats.
Yep.
Four, if they go 4 and zip, they've got North. You'd think they'd beat North. barring divine intervention,
5-2.
To go 5-0 would set them. That would really set them up for the season.
Thanks, Benny.
Good work.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.